This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this November 22nd edition of Invest Talk, the day before Thanksgiving. We're all about above average investing for the average investor. This is a two-way conversation about your money. Saving, spending, investing. That's what we want to talk about. And we welcome all questions about money. We're here the day before Thanksgiving, the day after tomorrow, the first day after Thanksgiving, has been known and is known as Black Friday for quite some time. It's called Black Friday because if sales go well, it puts retailers in the black for the year, as opposed to the red, meaning losses for the year. So Black Friday is the day that retailers make enough money to finally break into the black, break into profits for the year. Okay? And there's already some predictions out there about retail sales, as there always is. So it's the expectation game. What will we all expect? If sales meet or beat the predictions, then everything looks pretty rosy for the stock market. It'll probably rise. If not, investor comments may flag a little bit. Now, we talked about leading indicators, you know, off and on, leading and lagging indicators for the economy. So consumers will be buying and selling stuff on Black Friday, and it kind of acts as a leading indicator, at least for the end of the end of the year. So we will see. We'll see by, we'll know the numbers by, what, Tuesday? Because you got Cyber Monday also. That's fairly new term, Cyber Monday, when people, and you know that in my newsletter that's going to come out this week, I'm talking about Black Friday and Cyber Monday and whether there's the deals are worth the effort and all those things. And you'd be surprised. It's not, Cyber Monday is not just leftover sales, leftover products from Black Friday. That's not how that works. It's new inventory. So it's kind of interesting. Now, do you have a question about other leading indicators? How do they impact the market? Is this impact long-lasting? You're invited to give me a call on our 24-hour listen line. We can talk live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line. The number is always the same, 888-99-CHART. So let's take a question someone called in between programs.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question is, how long a trend line should you use? 14 days, a couple of months, and what determines the length of the trend line that you should use? I've listened to you on the internet, and I'll be listening for an answer online. Thank you.
Well, I wish I could just say, oh, take this many days, and that's when you that's what you use for a trend line. But it doesn't. It's not that easy. It depends on what kind of investor you are. If you're a trader, you would use a short-term trend line. But most, and I'll give you just a general answer, most analysts, technical analysts, meaning looking at a chart stock, a chart of a stock, look at it over a one-year period on a daily chart. So the daily price move of a stock over 1 year, and they draw trend lines from that. And those are basically the longer-term trend lines, the more you're trying to gauge the long-term trend of a stock, not the short-term. Because you use 20 days or 50 days and then use trend lines there, but it's not as meaningful. It's only for those short-term traders, you know, swing traders or day traders that use much shorter lengths of trend lines. And do you know how to draw a trend line? Some people don't. You can go to Investopedia and it will give you the definition of trend lines. But usually you're trying to connect tops or bottoms in a straight line of a stock movement, okay? And that gives you a trend line. So if a stock is having lower lows and lower highs, it's developing a downward trend, and you can draw a trend line from the lower highs, and you'll have a downsloping trend line. When it breaks above that trend line, that means maybe it's breaking the downward trend. So that's what they're kind of used for, and vice versa for an upward trend. Okay, let's look at the topics we're going to talk about today. Low returns are a feature of markets. That's going to be our main talking point. I have some other topics of mine as well. There's things we didn't get to yesterday about existing home sales and a couple other things. How about what investors should be thankful for? Since it's the day before Thanksgiving, I think we should have a list of things we should be thankful for. And Bloomberg came out with his top 100 business schools, and I thought I'd go over the top 10. And number one has been number one for 3 years in a row. So we're going to discuss that. And if we get a chance, I want to talk about what $1,000 invested in 15 popular stocks in the recession would be today. $1,000 invested in 15 popular stocks in the recession, 2008, and what would that be today, almost a decade later? Wouldn't that be interesting? Popular stocks. How about Netflix, Amazon, Apple, Starbucks? Those kind of stocks. The market was kind of down today. The Dow was down 65. Remember, it was up 160 yesterday. The Dow was down 65. The NASDAQ that was up 75 yesterday was up 5 today. And the S&P that was up 17 yesterday was down 2 today. So the market was up today. Up. Well, I'm sorry. The market was kind of down. But if you put the 2 days together, it was obviously up. But, you know, I guess you would call it a mixed market when the NASDAQ actually did move up a few points. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? 888-99-CHART. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. According to Investopedia.com, many analysts and investors scoff at the notion that Black Friday has any real fourth quarter predictability for the markets as a whole. Instead, they say it only causes very short-term gains or losses. So how important is the retail sector to the market as a whole? Bring your questions to me now at 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Mike in Santa Clara. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, Steve. I have a question regarding Intel stock from buying perspective as of now. Like, is it a good time or it's better to wait?
I think I'd wait. It's had a really good run in September from 34 to, it got up to about 46.50, 46.75, and now it's back to 44.65. So it's come down in the last few weeks. And it does come down through the 20-day moving average. It could pause here. This would be a good place to buy it, but there's a gap down to 41 that it might fill before it comes back up. And it's, you know, that's about, what, 8% down? That would be a much better place to buy it. Intel Corporation, INTC is the symbol, everybody, and I think everybody knows what they do. They make chips. They have earnings going to be up really nicely this year to $3.25 from $2.72. But next year, the earnings are going to be about the same. And sales are starting to slow down. So I think a lot of the move has already been built into the price. The P.E. range is 10 to 17, and it's a $44 stock. So it's around 14 P.E. So, you just want to wait maybe if it fills that gap. That would be a better point. And that's a 50-day moving average and filling a gap. So technically $41 would be a much better place to buy it. Okay, Mike?
And do you recommend holding for long-term, or it's not that great?
It's a really good blue-chip stock. It'll be around for a long time. It pays 2.4% dividend, so it's never going to grow really fast or hard anymore. It's too big, $208 billion company. But what it will do is it'll be very steady, and it'll be a big blue-chip core holding. But then in that case, you always want to buy those as cheap as you can before you step in. But I appreciate the call. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART. So let's talk about low returns, because this is a feature that that Bogle has been talking about. And he's the founder of Vanguard, if you remember right. Jack Bogle, Vanguard founder, he has stated that everybody's going to have to get used to low returns for the next foreseeable future. And when he's talking about low returns, he's talking about 4% a year. That's what he's saying. Time to look for much lower returns going forward. And all this really, you boil this all down, is the market returning to its mean. And remember, the overall long-term return of the market is between, that's about 8, 9, 10%. Okay, it used to be 10, 11%, but in recent decades, more realistic is around 10% since about 2000. It has been, but we have had much better returns in the last, since 2008. So what's going to happen is, for the market to return to its mean, you got to have sub long-term average returns. And you know, that's all this article is talking about. Now, he also has some interesting statistics, 10-year rolling periods of what is the worst 10-year rolling periods. And 2001 to 2010, it was 4%. 2000 to 2009, it was almost 2.93%. So you can see that low return, and from 2007 to now, you know, the returns are much better, even though you have that recession in there. So it depends on what 10-year period. He is just anticipating higher interest rates, which will mean lower returns for equities and going forward, and he expects higher interest rates to be around for a while. So he tells everybody that he talks to that we just got to expect lower returns going forward. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. You know, you talk to all these experts, and they all have different opinions. But, you know, there are certain ones you want to listen to because they use common sense and have a long-term track record of decent, you know, calls on the market. And John Bogle's one of those. So we'll see how that works out. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's an investing term you should know. What is the spot rate? What is the spot rate? That's the price quoted for immediate settlement on a commodity, a security, or a currency. Spot rate. What's the spot rate right now? The spot rate, also called spot price, is based on the value of an asset at the moment of the quote. This value is in turn based on how much buyers are willing to pay and how much sellers are willing to accept, which depends on factors such as, you know, current market value and expected future market value. As a result, spot rates change frequently and sometimes dramatically. You can see a more detailed definition from our friends at Investopedia.com. You know, I do really like Investopedia.com. And I have no tie to them or any kind of relationship with them or anything. I just think it's a great website to give average people a lot of basic information. If you have a question on the terms, you have any kind of definition you're looking for, go to Investopedia.com, type it in. They have also a bunch of teaching tools there. I really like it. And it's mostly free. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley here this day before Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday. I'm here to take on any of your money questions. We can talk live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or use the same number for off-hours calls, 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Wendy in Chino Hills. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Steve. Today wasn't really a question. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow, so I want to call and see. Thank you very much. It has been almost a year since I started listening to the show. I have learned a lot, and I read some of the books you guys recommended on the website, and it helped a lot, too. I'm working on the the intelligence investor right now. And also, I think you guys have done like wonderfully for like all the new investors. I mean, for at least for myself, I would see. I just want to show my gratitude and appreciation of whatever you guys have done like in the past. And I just want
Thank you. And that's very kind of you, Wendy. I really do enjoy doing the show. I know Justin does too. And we really do try to teach more than, you know, of course we use this as a marketing tool. I mean, we're not hiding that at all. But we do, I frankly do like to teach people how to do this, because it's not rocket science. It just takes a little work. And if you enjoy it, it doesn't feel like work. So, Wendy, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. That was very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the 24. Thank you, Wendy. Let's go back to the 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ryan Peebles here out of Texas. Just had a quick question regarding an ETF trust fund, seeing what your thoughts were on it. The symbol is GVIP, Goldman Sachs ETF. Just wondering what you guys thought about it and if it was maybe too late to get in it. Thanks so much. Appreciate the show. Have a great one.
Okay, this is Goldman Sachs Holdings. In ETF seeks investment results that closely correspond to the performance of the Goldman Sachs hedge fund VIP index. So knowing it doesn't tell us anything what it does. We have no idea based on the description. I can't tell you what kind of stocks they have. I'd have to research that hedge fund. But I can tell you what it's done. It's moved from 42 to 52 in a year. It's right now at 52.83. It has been steadily rising the whole time. Okay, so that is a pretty decent return in a year. You cannot, you know, you cannot complain about that return. I don't know what the expense ratio is. I don't know the holdings they have, and it's only been around since December of 2016. So it hasn't been around. That entire time has gone up. Now, that should be surprising because the market's gone up. But, you know, I had no idea what they are. So you'd have to really do some research to find out what they do and see if that fits what you're after. It's because it just does. We just don't have any information on it. Here, we only know that it's the Goldman Sachs hedge fund VIP index. Well, what's that? What's the hedge fund do? They are very secretive about what they do in those hedge funds. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Existing home sales for October, 5.4 million in October, up 2%. And that's been the best report since June of this year. And the median price is up 5.5% year over year. So that was good too. And that's at $247,000, by the way. Just think about here in California, in the Bay Area or in Southern California, what $247,000 would buy you? Pretty much nothing. Now, what's really interesting, that's 68 straight months that the prices have gone up. Now, also, you know, inventory is very low for existing home sales, which tells you that it's not going to see any slackening of prices, probably, with inventory so low. That doesn't happen, you know, especially in an economy that's growing. And so, I think if you're in the house, you're enjoying some very nice returns. If you're looking to buy a house, it's a much more difficult proposition. Much more difficult proposition. Now, there's parts of the country where it's not difficult, but I'm talking about the high-flying areas in the Bay Area where this radio show is broadcast. I mean, it's almost impossible to buy any reasonable price house. No matter how old it is or small it is, it's not cheap. It's not. It's expensive. So it's very, very difficult in the Bay Area to buy any kind of reasonableness, find any kind of reasonableness in prices. Now, Southern California, it's expensive, but not nearly as expensive. In the Midwest of the country, it's fairly inexpensive compared to the coasts. Just the way it is, everybody. Coming up next on Invest Talk, one full hour on real estate, opportunities, and decisions. That's next time. What's your topic today? My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific Time is 888-99-CHART.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. We continue with our podcast. First, a word from KPP Financial. When you make money choices, you try to be objective, of course. Look for the facts. Look at your life situation. Some people choose to work with a registered investment advisor, and one of the most important reasons is to be defensive, keeping risk at a minimum. It's not only a way to share the worry, it becomes a practical matter. A professional advisor has the resources and experience. They study the market. They try to anticipate what might happen. For more than 20 years, KPP Financial has been serving clients all across America. They're accessible, responsive, and maybe most important, the KPP principals invest right along with their clients. They call it parallel investing. And to find out more about that or any of their investment programs, just go to investtalk.com when you're ready and click on the investing tab. And now we continue with the podcast. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your question right now. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
My question is, after an IPO is delivered and that stock price is set, the rise in that stock value now gives no further capital increase to the company. So what is So driving that stock price up, how does that specifically help the company after the IPO, with the exception of, obviously, if you've got insiders that own the stock? But that's it. Thanks.
Okay, a higher market cap, which a higher price would do, and a higher price would make it easier for them to finance if they needed to borrow money using a bond, by going to the bond market, or borrowing money from a bank, or issuing additional shares if they want to. A higher stock price would help them greatly. Okay, buying another company. Many times Company A buys Company B with Company A's stock. Higher the price, the more value they have, it's like cash. So those are the things that would help it going higher. And that's about it. But yeah, everybody wants stock price to go up, if at all possible. Now, the big blue chip stocks, sometimes they can't go up or can go up very, very slowly, but that's why they pay dividends, to help boost the ultimate return. But that's what it is. After the stock goes IPO and it starts trading, and the reason why you want it to go up is you can use it as collateral to grow your company, to borrow money, to issue more stocks, that kind of thing. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, one full hour on real estate, everybody. I hope you will be here for that. I think it'll be interesting. Anyways, what investors should be thankful for? It is day before Thanksgiving, so. How about a solid world economy? You should be thankful for that, because that is very positive for the stock market. Unemployment rate at near a 17-year low, 4.1%. An income of the middle class at a recent record, up 3% year over year. You could be thankful for that. Who drives sales, who drives the economy, and earnings, corporate earnings drive stock prices. Another one, we still have very low interest rates. And finally, oil is still cheap. What, $60, $57, $60 a barrel? I mean, it hasn't gone up in years. Oil is cheap. So those are things you should be thankful for here for day before Thanksgiving. As an investor, those are good fundamental things to have to help keep the stock market going up. Fundamentally, the economy is pretty darn solid. And when the world economy is growing with you, everybody's finally on the same side of the coin trying to grow their economies. Everybody's growing their economies. That means consumers everywhere in the world are going to make more money. That's what that means. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I have a new day for individual retirement reviews in San Jose. I will be there on December 6th. We'll get this date in before the holiday. That's my hope. Get the date in. So if you're interested, if you want to sit down and meet with me to take a look at your portfolio and see how you're doing, maybe a year-end review to see what we need to do for the new year coming up, just get on the schedule for December 6th. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then portfolio review.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone from anywhere in the USA. If you live in the San Jose area, he'll be meeting with listeners there on December 6th on a first-come, first-served basis. If you'd like to reserve your own hour with Steve then, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hi, my name is Ryan. My younger 20s here. Just started getting to investing. Just got my first real job, and I want to start putting money away. Now, there's this stock I've been following. It's SQ Square. And today I noticed a really big dip. The price went down from about $49.50 down to like $47, and I bought in with the intentions of making a swing trade, and it went back up to almost all the way back up to the $49, so I could sell out now and take my profits. However, looking at the rapid growth of this company, I'm wondering if I should hold out maybe until the end of the year or hold on to it for a very long time. Now, my question is, I have sources online saying that, you know, this company's growing, you're going to double your, my profits here. And then there's also, on the flip side, people saying that it's growing so fast that it's going to crash or it's going to start to depreciate and that it's very overpriced. If you could give me any sort of insight on that, as whether I should sell and just make the quick profit there, or if you think I bought in at a good time and maybe I should hold on long term. That would be great. My name's Ryan. Thank you so much.
Okay, Ryan, there's a couple of mistakes you're making. You can't change your mind. If you bought something for a swing trade, you should stick with it, a swing trade. It doesn't all of a sudden become a long-term buy just because it went up. So when you go into a trade or into a particular stock, you go into it for a particular purpose. If the purpose was long-term, then that's what it is, long-term. If the purpose was a swing trade, it's a swing trade. And a swing trade is not a one-day thing. Swings mean several weeks. A day trade is one day. So you really need to decide what kind of, remember, I've said this before, what kind of investor are you? Now, let's say you are a swing trader because that's what you indicated that you were. Square is very overpriced. And it's probably a decent stock for swing trading because it's very overpriced. It's gone up very fast, and it won't continue to do that. No stocks do. No stocks go in one direction. But it's in an upward momentum trade. I mean, it even ended up near, as you pointed out today, near its high. That means there's a lot of momentum behind it, pushing the stock higher. So you could hold on to it for a few weeks and you can take your profits anytime you want during those few weeks. Square, is it a good long-term investment? We talked about Square yesterday. It could be, but not at this price. Even on next year's earnings, after it doubles its earnings next year, it's still selling at 100 PE. 100. The market doesn't sell at 100 PE. It sells at a 15, 16 P. The whole market's selling right now about 18 right now. So the whole market's overpriced. So it can stay that way as long as it continues to grow at the rapid pace it is. It could continue to be move up. It can. But it will eventually revert to the mean someday as soon as the sales stop growing so fast. If it's next quarter, sales are still growing very fast, but only half as much as everybody expected, the stock is going to fall like a stone. If the next quarter the sales comes in and the sales grew much better than expected, the stock will still rise like it's rising now, like a rocket ship. So it's one of those things you just take your chances on. I would not buy Square because it's too expensive, but I'm not a swing trader either, or a day trader. I'm an investor. I want to invest it for long periods. Square, SQ, everybody. If you don't know who it is, it provides point-to-point software that manages receipts and inventory. That's a thing that you put on your phone or your pad, and you run a credit card across it, and it adds money directly into your account. So if someone buys something from you, you can just slide it through, and bingo. It's pretty nice. 888-99-CHART. So, if you took $1,000 in the depth of the recession, okay, almost a decade ago, and bought these 15 stocks, what would be the value today? And we're gonna, it's kind of interesting. It's the biggest return was Netflix. $1,000 back then would be $51,966 today. Amazon, $12,398. Now, this is over a decade. Apple, $6,228. Starbucks, $4,687. Nike, $3,319. Google, or Alphabet, $2,922. Interesting. Disney, $2,824. McDonald's, $2,793. And what do you think GE did? GE, you would have lost $490. Of the $1,000, you would have lost almost half of it. Kind of interesting, huh? I thought that was just an interesting, fun facts. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. We're here for you. Beginner experience, doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART is the number. And, of course, you can call it anytime you want.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Sean from New York. Today I have a question about dividend paying ETFs and mutual funds. I just have a hard time understanding how they calculate their yield. Let's say an ETF is paying 3.5%. What does that really mean? Does it mean that you will get 3.5% dividend regardless of how much the stock of those companies go up and down? Meaning that if I start with $10,000 and then I should expect to get 3.5% dividend back on that $10,000, and when my money goes up and down with the fluctuation of the market, that 3.5% will go up and down, or no? Thank you for your help. I'll be listening to your podcast. Bye.
Okay, so what happens is when they quote you a dividend yield on an ETF, a stock, or whatever, they're looking at what that stock or ETF paid in the last 12 months, usually. And they look at the price of the stock today and say, okay, that dividend paid $2 a share last year, and it's a $20 stock today, right now. So its yield in this last 12 months is 10%. Now, if the stock goes to $100 and the yield did not, the dividend payout did not change, now you're talking about 2%. So the dividend, always try to remember, dividends are paid in cash. They're not paid in percentages. They're paid in cash. So it's a dollar amount. And that dollar amount is compared with the stock of the price at the time you're looking at it, at that today's price. And that's how you derive at the yield. So someone could be getting really a lot more yield than you. Let's say they bought the stock a year ago and the stock was half the price it is today. Well, their yield would be much as it is today. Twice the amount back then as it is today if you bought the stock today, because the stock went doubled. Remember, the dividends are paid in cash, a dollar amount. They look back and see how much was paid in the last 12 months, they figure out what the yield is for that stock. Now, what if they change the dividend in the future? They can lower it. They can increase it. It's not static. Changes all the time. We're here for you. Anytime you want to call, just make a call. Here's an investing term you should know. Another one. What is a hostile takeover? A hostile takeover is the acquisition of a company called the target company by another called the acquirer. That is accomplished by going directly to the company's shareholders, you and me, who own the stocks, are fighting to replace management to get the acquisition approved. So you can go directly to shareholders and say, we want to offer X amount of dollars, and then you vote on it. Or you can vote the change management. Remember, it's a public company. You, the shareholders, vote. And the change management to a more friendly environment to so you can get buy the company. So a hostile takeover can be accomplished through either a tender offer for the shares, an offer for all the shares at a certain price, or a proxy fight to change management. So that's the two things you can do. The key characteristic of a hostile takeover is that the target company's management, current management, does not want to deal, does not want to sell. They don't want it to go through. Sometimes a company's management will defend against unwanted hostile takeovers by using several controversial strategies, such as a poison pill, the crown jewel defense, a golden parachute, or the Pac-Man defense. These are all terms on how to defend against hostile takeovers. You can look them up. Poison pill, the crown jewel defense, a golden parachute, or the Pac-Man defense. You can see more detailed definition if you want from our friends at Investopedia.com. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. We have just a few minutes left in the hour. We're coming up in the last segment. But there's still time for you. Reach me now with your question at 888-99-CHART.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your excellent program. I listen to you every day on my commute to work, to your podcast. The company that I'd like to ask you about is IBM, a well-known company. I just want to see what you all think of it, if this is a good place to pick it up. The stock has gotten beat up recently, and I'm mainly interested in holding it long-term for the dividend and would like to see what your opinion is. Thank you very much, and I look forward to listening to your answer. Bye.
Okay, IBM, International Business Machines, it's a $140 billion company. It provides IT consulting services, computer hardware, software for institutions worldwide. Of course, everybody knows IBM. I would say this is a good price, okay? It's trading for $151.77. I mean, the low it made last year was 116. The year before, 131. The year before that, 150. And right now, it's 151. The high of last year, 169, 176, 199. And the high of this year is about 170, 75. 77, something around that number. So here it is, 151. I think it's at a good buy price, especially if you're buying for the dividend 4%. You can just wait and be patient. 4% is a very good dividend. It's not going to grow. Matter of fact, sales are pretty flat. So that's not going to help you. But the dividend is pretty strong. And, you know, it's trading at, what, 11 P.E.? Maybe 10 P.E.? No, it's more like 11, 12, and it's 8 to 14 is the range, so it's a low P.E. range anyways. Return on equity is really good at 80%. Cash flow is very high at $18.41. So this is probably a pretty good price right in here to buy the stock, IBM. I mean, of course, you would like to get it cheaper, but right now the yield is 4%. And they're not going to cut their yield, their dividend. They're gonna keep paying that. So I would say right now it's a good price to buy it. Okay, the best business schools of 2017. Bloomberg puts out a list of 100 of them every year. And you can check them all out on the web if you wanted to see what one they are. And these are the top 10. And the top one has been on the top list for the last 3 years running. And to be honest, it's been on the top of the list forever, but number one for the last 3 years straight. And that's Harvard. Harvard Business School. Number two is Wharton. Number three is MIT. Number four is a school that most people probably never heard of, Chicago's Booth School. Booth. probably my, that's number four. Number five is Stanford. Six is Duke. Seven is Dartmouth College. It's actually the, I think it's the Tuttle. I think that's the name of it. Or the Tucker. The Tuck. I don't know. It's a Tuck College. Northwestern's number eight. And I know that is college, the Kellogg. Northwestern, that's the name of their business school, Kellogg. And number nine is Columbia. That's in New York. And the number 10 is Rice. Their Jones School of Business, Rice, R-I-C-E. Those are the top 10. And it really is interesting to take a look at all the schools on the list of the top 100 in the country. Now, why is it important? These, by the way, in order, are not necessarily in order of how much money a student makes. That's not the order. The order is how Bloomberg judges that. Then they have their rules, you know, of the business school. And, I guess you could say that's pretty good. Nothing wrong with the way they do it. It's a good methodology. Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you have lots to be thankful for. I know my family, we sit around a big circle, and everybody goes around individually and say what they're thankful for on Thanksgiving. And some people in the family don't really care for that tradition, but I enjoy it. Sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's joy, but it really kind of brings home to what everybody should be thankful for, because, you know, over the last year, you look over last year and think about your health and think about your children, your nieces and nephews, your spouse, and what you should be thankful for. I think it's a good practice. So try to remember tomorrow what we're all thankful for. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I really do. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, if you have a 401k plan at work and you're not feeling good about it, well, maybe you can check our active 401k program. It helps you pick the best funds available based on what you're, and of course, available in your employer's plan, and based on your personal risk tolerance of how much risk you really want to take. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.